broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 9th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely the checks and balances are critical to restore the republic peacefully, ladies and gentlemen. That's our goal. By the way, on Saturday, first hour, Sam launched into a monologue talking about the checks and balances within our constitutional republic provide the keys to a true restoration of the freest country in the world. Check that out, folks. We talked about Franklin Graham kind of fires back about the impeach 45 effort. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, is selling Pray for 45 t-shirts now. That's kind of good news. I want to pray for 45. I want to pray for all American presidents that they come to their senses and obey the supreme law of the land and turn to God and repent and help heal our nation. Hour two on Saturday, we had our guest on, Mr. Eddie Miller, and we talked about all charges dropped against Trump inauguration rioters. Believe it or not, they might even get paid, the Blaze.com writes. Wow. Now, we were at that inauguration, folks. The rioters were out of control, I'm telling you right now. They were literally beating up cops, literally destroying property. I mean, it was out of control. No convictions there. It was just shocking. What a disgrace. But, folks, that's what we've kind of started to do, is reward criminal activity everywhere. We're supposed to protect life, liberty, and property. But what we're doing is letting government kind of be the means to violate that. Tragic, but true. We talked about a baby bust. Fertility is declining in America, folks. It's tragic. We talked about the Center for Disease Control and Prevention highlights the states with the highest birth rates. Business Insider with the report. Guess which state tops the list? You guessed it. The beautiful beehive Olympic state of Utah. Good news. We believe in multiplying and replenishing the earth. I wish other states would get on board with that as well. Looks like Seattle becomes the first major U.S. city to nix plastic straws and utensils. They call them one-time users. None of that plastic going on, folks. Starbucks is getting it on the mix as well across the country. We talked about the June jobs report, ladies and gentlemen. 213,000 jobs added, but unemployment goes up to 4%. You say, how does that happen? We had so many jobs, but unemployment goes up. Well, people are getting back in the workforce. They realize that there's actually a couple more jobs under Trump than there was Barack. We talked about private payrolls even miss expectations, as companies can't even find enough people to hire, they claim. But here's the problem. As inflation rises, folks, it's even harder to get a raise, even writes the New York Times. Inflation, believe it or not, hit 2.8% and grew much faster than wages. I believe inflation is way higher than 2.8%. Nevertheless, we articulated that your dollar's only worth about 3 cents now, comparing it to gold. It's official, ladies and gentlemen, the United States and China are in a trade war. What does that mean? Well, here's the interesting thing. I believe in appropriate tariffs at the borders to reward nations that back the free market and to act as a hedge against nations who dump products or use government to manipulate prices and generate an uneven playing field. I support tariffs to not put the burden for the proper role of limited government onto the backs of the internal taxpayer. I support all that. They are constitutional. I don't support tariffs in the way Donald's using them, though, because he's using them very politically. The tariffs are very, very, very high indeed. And I'm afraid if he's not very careful, it might backfire. All right. Anyway, that's a recap of Saturday's show. It is available up on demand at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com. And if you find our efforts of value, please reciprocate and donate today. We've got day jobs. We don't want you to fund our families. We do want you to help our media presence grow, and it takes a lot of cash to be in the media, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you. So LibertyRoundtable.com's that. That is a recap. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org on your radio. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Any comments on the previous news before we move on?
Well, I like everything I hear there, Sam. I'm going to have to go back and listen to your monologue on Saturday first hour because that, you know, the checks and balances of our Constitution, this blueprint for liberty, we need to be intimately familiar with that because our representatives bypass and ignore those checks and balances. We don't use those enough, Sam, and so I'm glad you talked about it, and I think all of us would do well to become more familiar with them and insist with our representatives, insist that they follow those and use those checks and balances to check the power of the other branches of government.
In fact, there are some guys trying to do just that. Looks like Lowell Nelson got a letter from Michigan Rep. Justin Amash recently. A few other people got it as well, so he is speaking out boldly, along with a few others, Lowell.
Yeah, this is a great letter, Sam. I want to quote parts of this letter, and as we go along through it, talk about it. It's not often, Sam, that I get a letter from a congressman that I feel is worth taking any time. And usually the letters I get from them I like to poke fun at because they expose their hypocrisy. But in this case, Justin Amash is one of the good guys there in the U.S. House. And in his letter, he's talking about this corruption in Congress. And boy, it's a rare letter when a congressman talks about the corruption in Congress, you know, other than just to pretend that he's, you know, concerned about it. I mean, Justin actually is concerned about it, and he's speaking out about it. He says this. He says, I'm often asked why Congress regularly passes giant, corrupt, last-minute bills under the threat of manufactured crises like government shutdowns and why there's so little real debate on the House floor. So that's his opening paragraph. And I've been to Washington, D.C. I can testify that House floor is empty most of the time. And even when people are back there speaking, it's like they're talking to an empty chamber. They just get up, and, of course, CNN focuses on them. It doesn't pan around the room so that you can tell how empty it is. But, I mean, it's a real sad thing. They simply, you know, it's a truism. What he's saying here is true, folks. There really is no real debate on the House floor very often. And so then he answers his own question. He says, the answer is that the establishment wants it that way. And what way is he talking about? They want it. They want these giant, corrupt, last-minute bills. I mean, that's what Justin is saying here. They want them passed under threat of government shutdowns or under manufactured crises. And so now he asks, why? Why do they want it that way? Well, he answers his own question here. He says, well, the fact is that a lot of their legislation could not pass in standalone votes on the House floor. So they sneak.
And by the way, let me just stop you there and say that's why we've been pushing so much for these single-page bills, these one-issue-at-a-time legislative pieces, these issues where people can be vote up or down on a given bill, and it's clear what they stood for or did not stand for. Sometimes the bills are so convoluted you can't even tell if they're right or wrong on what they've done. A lot of times they, you know, complain that Ron Paul or Rand Paul or some of these people aren't voting for things that they should be. Well, it's because of the devil in the details, or the opposite, are voting for something they shouldn't be, or whatever they want to say. It's very complicated. If we had these single bills, we could clearly know who's doing what. They won't do it because they know that, hey, we'd have a lot more transparency, and that's what they don't want.
Exactly right. Spot on, Sam. They sneak these unpopular provisions into these must-pass, 1,000-page bills, and then they hide these bills from other members of Congress until just hours before the vote. This is coming from a sitting congressman. He continues, this is the establishment's way of consolidating power, making sure that fewer than a dozen people have near absolute control over the House, even though we're a body of 435 members who are independently elected to represent our constituents. This tyrannical approach has to change for policy outcomes to improve. The House must be a place that allows for genuine deliberation. End of quote. Now, he's spot on, Sam. And you hit the nail right on the head. If they had single issue bills, then we could tell how they really felt about what they were passing. But by putting both the good and the bad, mixing it together in a single 1,000-page bill that nobody can read in time, they can claim that they're voting the good for, you know, good things, and they can claim that when they're talking to the good guys, and they can claim that they're voting for, you know, the bad things when they're talking to the bad guys. So they get it both ways. It's like, you know, flip a coin, heads I win, tails you lose type of deal here. And so he continues on his letter then. He says, of course, the establishment will pull out all the stops to destroy liberty-minded friends in the House in the upcoming battle for the leadership. We started the process of organizing and persuading our colleagues. We're gearing up, blah, blah, blah. I didn't mean to quote that paragraph. The next one is this. Congress's broken process is one of the most important issues of our time, and people at home deserve the truth about why there's so much dysfunction in Washington. Instead, you're routinely fed partisan talking points by an establishment that wants you to look the other way as they increase spending, grow government, and try to oust pro-liberty congressmen. This perpetual march towards bigger government is difficult to stop when regular order has been thrown to the wayside, as it has been for far too long.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. On your radio, talking about a letter from Justin Amash. Incredible, candid reality check on what's happening in Congress, folks.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about an incredible letter written by Justin Amash, and a bunch of other congressmen are getting involved in the act, too, blowing the whistle on what's happening in the swamp, if you will. Lowell got the letter. He's breaking down the details. They're really telling you that, hey, the reason these omnibus bills are passed is because they literally lump it all together, knowing full well it would never pass standalone. Lowell's reading details of the letter directly from Justin Amash now.
The way it works today, he continues, any representative who wants to get a bill on the floor must bow to leadership. And this requires voting for unconstitutional legislation that both grows government and threatens the liberty of those we represent. Final paragraph here. He says, and well, the last paragraph I'm going to read of his letter. Until the American people understand how dangerous the current House process is and demand change from their congressmen, this crooked system will continue to undermine our constitutional order and diminish our liberty. This corrupt process is the root of congressional dysfunction. End of quote there. So this harks back to something that Arnold Gunn brought to my attention several years ago, Sam. I remember talking about it once or twice, and that is that it used to be up until 1859, I believe, the rules in the House were such that members of committees would, members of the House would elect the committee chairs in the U.S. House, and that allowed the chairs to be answerable to the whole House. Whereas the rules were changed in 1860s, 1870s, such that the House Speaker gets to appoint all of the committee chairs, and that makes them, the committee chairs, beholden to the House Speaker. So why this change, and why did they want it that way? Well, it's because they can then force top-down leadership. If you're beholden to the Speaker, see, it's a system of patronage, Sam. You know, if you're beholden to the Speaker, the only way you can get anything done is to do what the Speaker wants you to do. And if you don't do what the Speaker wants you to do, then you get punished. You don't get to introduce bills. You don't get to have your name on bills. You don't get to introduce bills that would advance the cause of liberty and curtail the growth of tyranny. And we think that we have a representative government back there in Congress, when in reality, big money controls the handful of people at the top, like the House Speaker, the Senate President, and two or three, you know, the whip, the majority leader, the whip, and, you know, there's just a handful. I'm talking less than 10 people, maybe less than a dozen people there at the top who are all, told what to do because of the big money, because if they don't do what they are told to do, then they lose campaign donations, they lose support of the lobbyists, they lose big time, and eventually they lose their seat. And so that allows big money to control just a few people, so you don't have to spread the money out over all 435. They can just spread it among three or four or five people, and because of this corrupt system of patronage, they can control the entire House, the U.S. House of Representatives, Sam. That is a big, big problem.
Kurt, do you want to respond to this?
Well, I wish I could say something like, boy, I'm really shocked about the, sad situation there in Congress. But, the fact is, we've let this go for years, ladies and gentlemen, and it's amazing to me. I appreciate Justin Amash for, and he's in Kentucky, isn't he? Hello?
Michigan,
I'm sorry. For his efforts to, I guess you could say, shine the light on this. But what's amazing to me is if you find a big talker, Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, talking about this issue, I would be surprised. This is one of those things that they want to keep basically kind of like the Wizard of Oz story, where it just stays behind the curtain. We wouldn't want to let people know about things like this.
All right, Lowell, I don't know what to say about this, except for I will say this. Those who know about this when they get in and don't expose this, I'm not sure what to say for them. Those who are doing their best to speak out about it and tell the tale, I have tremendous respect for. But it's interesting that this is just coming out now. I mean, we've been talking about this stuff for 25-plus years now, and all I'm telling you is we're first hearing about it in a letter from a candid congressman. Good for Justin Amash. Now, there's other people speaking out about it. The New American's writing articles. Our buddy Joel Wolverton over there doing a great job about videos. Not only Thomas Massey and Justin Amash are putting together, but a few others are joining in too, right, Lowell?
Yeah, this is good news, Sam. I haven't heard most of these congressmen before, but not only Thomas Massey, but Ken Buck of Colorado, Rod Blum of Iowa, I've got two people out of Virginia, Tom Garrett and Dave Brath, both out of Virginia. We've got, a couple others here. Where did they go? Ted Yoho from Florida, who I'd never heard of before, speaking out about this. And did I say Ken Buck? I did. Yeah, so there's half a dozen people speaking out about this. And this is a great article in the New American. And when I saw these videos, I listened to these videos. I took lots of notes, and I think this is actually something that's worth. You know, I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on it this morning because people can go to the New American Magazine and just Google, you know, the New American Magazine and the Swamp videos or something like that, and pull up this article. Like you said, it's a great article about these half a dozen politicians back in the U.S. House who are trying to expose some of the corruption is right here on Capitol Hill. He's pulling back the curtain, so to speak, like exposing the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, right? He's pulling back the curtain in this series of videos about what goes on behind the scenes in Congress. Now, some of this, Sam, I had never heard before. And I consider myself pretty well informed on what goes on in the dark halls of government, but I was surprised to learn about some of this stuff. But besides pulling back the curtain to reveal the names and tactics of those who really pull the levers of power in Congress, these Swamp videos, Sam, they make it real obvious that although there are 435 members in the House of Representatives, the key decisions, and I'm going to say this again, the key decisions are always made by a handful of very powerful leaders bent on controlling the country, and the betrayal is bipartisan, right? I mean, we're fed this lie, Sam, that, you know, the Congress is comprised of two different parties, you know, Republicans on one hand, Democrats on the other, and they're always fighting each other. Well, I'll tell you one thing they don't fight each other on, and that is the growth and reach of government.
And this, by the way, allows a few people to become swamp monsters and control the narrative between the two parties, where they literally share power and agree to sell us down the river. That's the few. The many, though, are allowed to continue fighting, continue standing by their platforms to many degrees. But as long as you, don't get on committees, as long as you don't control the bills, as long as you don't have any assignments that can make you influential enough to make a difference, they've literally created multiple classes of congressmen with this, and senators, where you're, you know what, if you're in, you better go along and you better pay your dues. They talk about dues for certain positions. I mean, it's a pay-to-play game all the way. These people should be sued for criminal intent, sir.
That's exactly right. In this first video, first of the four videos, the first one's entitled Meet the Troublemakers. In this first video, one of them was talking about, I think it was Rod Blum from Iowa, is talking about in his first committee meeting when he first got there as a freshman, and I think he's pretty new, so it might have been just last year. When his first committee meeting got there, they were talking about a $7 billion line item in the budget. $7 billion. And the committee chairman said, you know what, we can't spend all day on this item. We need to move on. This is a $7 billion line item. We just have to move on. And Rod raised his hand. He said, hey, in Iowa, the entire state budget was $7 billion, and we're supposed to, you know, just ignore this line item, not talk about it, and we're supposed to move on. And boy, was he ever shut down and shown the road. Basically, a committee just moved on. And so this is the attitude of these folks back there. They don't spend, if they're not going to spend any time on $7 billion line items, Sam, they just have no sense at all of what's important, you know, to the people of this land. It's the growth and reach of this government that's way out of hand.
All right, hang tight. In seconds, Lowell Nelson.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We're talking about this Justin Amash, Thomas Massie series of videos. We're talking about an article in the New American by Joe Wolverton. And we're talking about a letter that Lowell Nelson got from Justin Amash. And we're talking about how the swamp literally works. And so really what they do is they control the few. And really, the few are selling us out. I would submit to you there's a few bold people speaking out, catching them in the act, like Justin Amash, like Thomas Massie, and a few others. But as a whole, you know, most of them are in the middle. They see how it works, but they don't really connect the dots and say, wait a minute, this is actual criminal behavior. This is actually violating the principles of the Republic, where you have people literally run for office, get elected, then do the representation of those whom they've, you know, been elected to serve. And the problem with the whole scenario is that they've Shanghai'd the system. And so you got three groups of people, those who are participating actively to Shanghai the system, the very few, the masses who kind of see what's happening and they're not happy about it. They're just like, but they're kind of like, well, I'm new here. I don't really see how it works. And then they turn a blind eye going, well, I'm just doing the best I can. And then the third group that stands up against it, very few. The swamp monsters are few. The people who have the guts to stand up for it are few. The masses are in the middle. And that's really kind of how it all works, Lowell. What do you think of that breakdown?
Yeah, I think that's a good summary of the situation there. Tom Garrett Jr. from Virginia was one of the ones featured in the video. And because he bucked the leadership, you know, didn't do what they wanted him to do. They targeted him and just beat him up mercilessly in the Politico and other magazines, and then he announced his resignation. And that's what they try to do to anybody that stands up to him. They try to beat him up. They spend big money in their districts trying to defeat him. They tell lies about him in the newspapers and all manner of bad things that you can do to a sitting congressman. They'll do it. Kind of reminds me of Merrill Cook when he lost his seat. This is about 15, 16, 18 years ago. He was targeted to lose his seat, and he wasn't even the most liberty-minded congressman back there, but he asked enough questions and riled up enough anger among the leadership back there that they helped take him out right here in Utah, a sitting congressman.
Yeah, so there's four videos they have out to date about draining the swamp, being very candid about what's happening. I appreciate their efforts. It's great work. We don't have the sound bites from them. I normally can grab sound bites, but if they're not on YouTube, they're hard to rip. You got to do it all by hand, and it takes, you know, quite a while in advance to get the videos where you can queue up the right spots, the right sound bites that you want, and everything like that. But they are available out there, folks. If you want to check it out, thenewamerican.com has a link to everything. Joel Wolverton's article is incredible about it. I don't know where they are going with this, though. We're not getting a wide enough distribution to understand what's happening here. Again, these congressmen are great, but unless they team up with the new media taking center stage, they're going to be stuck not getting the word out, and we're going to be stuck complaining about it. Lol.
Well, a good point, Sam, and that's why we're talking about it here, because I know you do have a pretty big audience, Sam and Kurt. You've done a great job and continue to do a wonderful job spreading the good word through alternative media. And we just need more people to watch these videos. Hey, and by the way, every single one of these videos has been watched over a million times. I was pretty impressed. If you go and you go look at the number of times these things have been watched, I was really impressed. Like this one, Episode 1, Meet the Troublemakers. I'm just looking at it right now. 4,299,775 views, right? So that's over, you know, 4.3 million views, or nearly 4.3. 1.3 million views of Episode 2, 5.9 million views of Episode 3, 1.7 million views of Episode 4. Now, I don't know exactly how they count those, because I watched them two or three times each. But, you know, it's really worth looking at, folks. Share these videos with your friends. Share the New American Magazine article with your friends and colleagues and family, and help them to become knowledgeable about how the swamp really works. The fact that there's just a few top leadership positions, there's a handful, just, you know, maybe six or eight people who are making all the decisions for the country, and they are the ones who are undermining the liberty, our own liberties right here in our country. And the rest of the representatives really don't have much that they can do about it. You know, they're expected to raise money. You know, in one of these videos, Sam Thomas Massey talks about the fact that he's given an assessment telling how much money he owes every session in order to maintain a committee assignment. In fact, because he refused to pay to play, he lost his committee, a subcommittee assignment. They dissolved his committee and pushed the members out into other committees simply because he refused to pay up his $300,000 assessment. So those congressmen back there, if they're not spending time, you know, whining and dining back there one another, they're all either on the phone trying to raise money, they're talking to lobbyists trying to raise money in order to pay for their committee assignments, their chairmanship, their power. This is, truly is an exchange of money for power back in Washington. This is the swamp, folks, and so this is a great expose. I heartily endorse these videos and recommend that we take a look at them. Now, you know, this isn't the be all end all. This is not the entire word. It's not a comprehensive look at all the problems in Congress. This is a look at a single serious corruption problem in Congress, and I'm thinking they're doing a great job in bringing this to light. And the least we can do is be familiarize ourselves with the information here, and then spread it, you know, to our friends, family, and colleagues. Sam.
Yeah, and what I think is important here is when they come out with this and have the guts to stand to have the guts to release a video. Literally several million people seeing the videos. It's time for us to do something to support them in their efforts and to say, hey, wait a minute, we've got to make this mainstream. We've got to make this a household discussion. We've got to do our best to say, look, this is unacceptable behavior. And we need the right people to file lawsuits. We need the right people to make an effort to speak out about this. I mean, we can't let this go unchecked or we can't let this issue be ignored here. And I commend them for standing up, but now it's time for the American people to get behind them and say, wait a minute, I don't care what side of the aisle you're from. I don't care where your political beliefs fall on the spectrum. You can't let this stand. And Donald Trump has wisely highlighted this swamp. Hey, he's right, it's a serious problem. But unless the people do something about it, these poor congressmen are going to be hung out to dry. Kurt, you want to respond to that? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you what I think our responsibility needs to be.
Yep, it's the swamp is massive, isn't it? And we've seen this forever, whether it's Boehner, McConnell, Ryan, you know, these different guys. Basically, like you said, there's just a few that run the whole thing and control it all. And if you don't think they have handlers and controllers, you need to watch an old movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That was, 80 years ago or something like that. And yet you can learn a lot about Washington, D.C. and the whole thing about how that works by watching that old movie.
Well, and one of the big key things we do is we continue to go to war while all this is happening. While the swamp monsters are compromised by lobbyists and by this system that they've built to protect themselves and reward the elitists who are selling the country south, we're doing two things. We're promoting abortion pro-death, and we're also running around the world promoting pro-death. Lol.
That's right, Sam. On July 3rd, that was just last week. That was last Tuesday, right? 6 days ago, another bombing in Yemen by the Saudi coalition, which is supported by the United States administration. Antiwar.com has the news here. It says this is the latest wedding massacre. Basically, a bomb. They dropped a bomb on a wedding party. The Saudi coalition forces did that. The coalition has illegally treated all of Saada as a military target for 3 years now. So this started in 2015, Sam, this bombing of Yemen. The Saudi-led coalition, since 2015, it's almost 3 years long now, and they have routinely strike civilian targets during this three-year period. U.S. military assistance to the coalition enables attacks like this one, and it has not made coalition attacks any less likely to hit civilian targets. On the contrary, by providing the coalition with unconditional backing for its campaign and refusing to criticize them for their war crimes, the U.S. makes attacks on civilians a certainty. There is no excuse for providing weapons and fuel to governments that slaughter people in their homes, schools, markets, and during their wedding celebration. That support must end, and it is long past time that Congress voted to end it. That's the first paragraph, and it's also the
amen to that. But the guys like Kurt, Sam, Lowell, who would bring it up, maybe even Justin Amash or Thomas Massey, some of these guys, will they even get a chance to bring it up? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We're talking about the abuse that takes place while Congress is distracted with lobbyists and the assignments that they get for pay-to-play, and the whole list goes on and on and on. But the abuse in the abortion mills is incredible. We've talked about that, highlighted that a lot. That last commercial was Mike Lee. Talking about life, Donald Trump going to pick the Supreme Court justice, what, by 12 today, they say? We'll hear about it, 9 o'clock Eastern. He's going to tell the nation. Our prayers are that he picks Mike Lee. I doubt he will, but I pray that he will, because I do believe Mike Lee, far from perfect, but is pro-life, and will not sell us south on the pro-life message. It's critical, folks, that we really push for the right things and the right people everywhere. But while that's going on, you got this Yemen situation where we keep bombing and we keep just literally harming innocents as the military-industrial complex marches on. And Congress doesn't do anything about it. We want to stop it, but who can bring it up? How can they even a good guy that's in Congress, you might think, oh, well, all you got to do is give it to him. He'll go ahead and, you know, catch the ball and run for the TD on this thing. Oh, no, he won't. He won't even get a chance to bring it up, lol.
And that's because they won't allow it to be brought up, Sam. The leadership and the various committees, they're all handpicked by the top dogs back there who want to control everything that goes on in Congress. And they can't allow, you know, some uppity, some liberty-minded congressman to bring something up that would be embarrassing, you know, to them, to either of the parties, to either the congressman. And it's just a sad deal, Sam. But if there were enough people calling their representatives, I think we could drum up enough support that the issue would actually be discussed. And I would like to see that, Sam. I would like to see 2018. Let this be the year. Let this be the month that this ends in Yemen. Let's stop the war in Yemen. It's been going on for almost 3 years, Sam, this killing of innocent women and children and men back there in Yemen, simply because the Saudis, they don't want the Houthis in power. They want their own people in power back there, and the U.S. supporting the Saudi-led coalition. And, you know, Rand Paul talked about it real plainly with Wolf Blitzer on a video that we played this last week. People will probably remember this clip, but you know, Rand Paul was saying very clearly that the U.S. is refueling the Saudi bombers and providing the military targets and, of course, civilian targets to boot, because, look, they just bombed a wedding party. That is not a military target. That's obviously just a civilian wedding party, and they dropped a bomb on it and killed 11 people and wounded 11 more just last Tuesday. And anyway, in this video clip that was made a couple of weeks ago, Rand Paul talks about what the U.S. is doing to support this Saudi-led genocide of the Yemeni people. And then Wolf Blitzer cuts in and just clearly says, look, if we stop selling planes and bombs to Saudi Arabia, that wouldn't that be a significant loss of jobs and revenue here in the United States? I mean, talk about blatant hypocrisy there, and I don't know what to call it. Is this? There's no feeling, no feeling of love or empathy for one's fellow men. Wolf Blitzer thinks that the loss of jobs and revenue is more important than saving the life of a person in Yemen.
Well, sadly, we've become a warlike people, ladies and gentlemen. That's the tragedy, and we've got to change that. We need to turn to God and repent for our abuses if we want him to heal our land and protect us. It's that simple. In fact, Jacob Hornberger, incredible columnist, lays out kind of some, or sheds some light on this big time, Lowell.
He sure does, Sam. Jacob G. Hornberger, you can catch a lot of his articles at FFF.org. That's Frank. The three letters, FFF.org. He's also found on the Ron Paul Liberty Report and the Ron Paul Institute. So you just Google Jacob G. Hornberger and you get his great stuff. In his first article, I mentioned three of them here, or want to mention three of them. In the first of the three, he talks about the national outrage over President Trump's policy of separating immigrant children from their supposed parents, right, as a way to deter illegal immigration into the states. And what's strange, he writes, is that while there's been mass outrage over Trump's separation policy, there's virtually no outrage over the U.S. government's policy of killing children as a way to achieve the political goal of regime change in foreign countries. Consider, for example, he says, the brutal system of U.S. sanctions on Iraq, which the Clinton administration enforced during the 1990s. A year after year, it contributed to the death of tens of thousands of Iraqi children, especially since the sanctions prevented Iraq from repairing the water and sewage treatment plants that the Pentagon had intentionally bombed during the Persian Gulf War. And he goes on and on in this article. You guys can read about it. But basically, it's regime change. He's talking about the foreign policy, U.S. foreign policy, is basically regime change. Whether it was in Iraq in the 1990s, whether it's in Syria today, whether it's in Yemen today, whether it's in Iran, there's saber rattling going on about let's get new people in Iran too. Well, it's all about regime change, and even in North Korea, right? And well, back to Yemen, for example. The U.S. And supported Saudi-led coalition forces, they're trying to starve the people in the city, the port city of Hodeida, by putting a blockade on that port, by hoping that by causing the deaths of thousands of people there, they can cause the people to rise up against the Houthis who are in control of that particular port city. And so it's just devilish, Sam, to use the lives of people to coerce them into doing, to achieving some political end that you have in mind. Sam, it's just pure evil. And that's just the first of his articles, Sam.
Well, and the sad part is Donald's doing a little better than others because on the campaign trail he articulated he understood a lot of this. And he's done some good. The problem is he's fallen prey to these generals that are pro-war everywhere. We literally train, arm, and fund enemies and terrorists around the world. We fund and train and arm for both sides of the war. I mean, it's we're not even close to stopping it. In fact, we're increasing it in many ways.
Just as like Hornberger writes at the end of his first article, he says, the U.S. sanctions are intended to make the starvation even worse. The U.S. government's hope is that the sanctions will kill even more people and thereby accelerate the chances of regime change or a change in behavior among North Korea's communist regime. Right? I mean, so this is pure evil. Going on to the second article here, he's talking about Cuba denuclearization in 1962 and why should the U.S. continue the embargo? The embargo is still in place today, Sam. It's been 50 years. 5 decades have passed since Cuba denuclearized their island there, and yet we continue this Cuban embargo. And what's the goal? Well, it's regime change. If you really want to know, he says he says, of course, the goal of embargo against Cuba has always been regime change. how well has that worked out for us? Quote, ever since Cuban revolutionaries ousted the brutal and corrupt pro-U.S. dictator Fulgencio Batista from power in 1959, the CIA and the Pentagon have been hell-bent on doing whatever was necessary to oust the communist regime in Cuba from power and replace it with another pro-U.S. dictatorship. It was the purpose of the CIA's paramilitary invasion of the Bay of Pigs in Cuba. That's why the Pentagon was constantly exhorting President Kennedy to attack and invade Cuba. That was the goal of the terrorism and the sabotage that the CIA inflicted inside Cuba. That was the aim of Operation Northwoods, the Pentagon's false flag operation that the Joint Chiefs of Staff unanimously recommended to Kennedy. That has been the purpose of the brutal economic embargo on Cuba. End of quote. This is hard-hitting stuff, Sam. He doesn't pull any punches, this Hornberger columnist. But that's what we have done in Cuba. How well has that worked? Well,
but he does that. He points out very well that not only are we doing it in Cuba, now we're talking about the same kind of similar idea in Korea. We're praising this leader. How do we praise North Korean leadership at this point? We've done the same thing around the world for literally decades in many, many countries.
In fact, Ron Paul, during his presidential run in 2007 and 2008, began mentioning this, and he would always go back to the Shah of Iran. Ask the readers, the listeners, to recall that the CIA, way back in 1950s, I think it was 59, right?
It was 1953.
1953, yes, deposed the Shah of Iran. And ever since then, the CIA has been engaged in regime change around the world, and for two reasons. Number one, they want to stir up rebellion. They want war because of the military-industrial complex. It's a way to line the pockets of those in that particular industry. So it's a moneymaker for them to always have turmoil and war and rumors of war throughout the planet, all around the planet. And number two, I think it's also to make people angry at the United States. And you can see now 50 years of this going on, you can see why so many people around the world, they view the United States as the big bully, as the great Satan, as the big war maker, war monger of the world. And why do they want that to happen? Well, because at some point, China, Russia, somebody is going to give us a black eye, and the rest of the world is going to cheer because we finally, somebody had the guts to stand up to the big bully, the big U.S. bully, and give them a black eye. And that's not good for us, Sam. It doesn't contribute to the safety of America for us to be out there in various countries stirring up trouble and making them mad at us. Sam, I just don't believe that's right. It's not turning to God. It's not recognizing and having empathy for our brothers and sisters around the world.
And there's two elements to it, just so everybody's clear. One is this money control for the military-industrial complex. But it's bigger than that, because they can make money out of thin air. They don't care as much about money, although it does certainly grease the wheels for black ops government operations. However, what the real issue in my mind is, if they got out of all the wars, America would allow an independent nation for us and for other nations, and their global dreams of tyranny and control would be over, Lowell.
Good point, Sam. Well, I'm with you on that.
Okay, and, so they want to control, and they know full well the only way they'll destroy America and create a global governance, if you will, is by doing these type of agitations, because they've got to take down the greatest country on the face of the earth. Although, they try to pitch us as isolationists if we speak up. But the truth is, we wouldn't be isolationists. We would just be leaders in peace, in a true sense, following the Prince of Peace and setting that standard as a beacon on the hill to the rest of the world. They can't let that happen, folks, so they lose control. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
Lowell Nelson doing an incredible job, as always. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby in the house. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use straight ahead. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.